Okay, for the date, today is December 20th, 2022, and welcome to the Mystery on Truth Bible Study Voice Room. And this is Alan Nass from Indiana, and I hope you weren't planning on me giving a Christmas message in December. It's like a guy I saw the other day, he had a sweatshirt on. It said, I celebrate Christmas on September 29th. So he's my kind of guy. Anyway, I send out some slides that you can use to follow if you have them. They went out by email earlier this evening. If not, that's okay. We're going to talk about the days of the wise men. I believe that we are now this time of year in the days of the wise men. So we're going to get to that point later in the study. So we're going to have to lay some groundwork first, and we're going to have to take a look at some facts from the scriptures and some facts from history and see what we can glean from those facts. And we're going to start off with birth of Jesus. How can we determine when Jesus was born? Well, luckily, we have our good Apostle Luke, who has given us Michael, I see that. We have the Apostle Luke gave us the only account of the conception and birth of John the Baptist, and I think that's where we have to start and make that connection with the birth of Jesus and go from there. So let's take a look first at Luke 1:5. And it starts off, it says that there was days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, in the course of Abijah, as it says in the Old Testament. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. They both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So what's going on here? Zacharias was a priest. And I think it's back in First Chronicles. It talks about the 24 courses. There were 24 priests who had to, were custodians of the temple and of the house of the Lord 1 week, twice a year. And so Zacharias was of the original guy in that course was Abijah. And when they got out of the captivity from Babylon, they reinstituted these courses, and they used the original name. So Zacharias was in the course of Abijah. So he went twice a year, one in May, one in November, and November doesn't fit anything. So we're going to use the one in May, that he was in the temple doing his thing, and he was burning incense as they prayed. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. So this angel told Zacharias that his prayers were heard, and they were going to have a child. His name was going to be John, and he was going to do all these wondrous things. And you can read this on your own in Luke chapter 1. And what happened was, Zechariah said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am old, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered unto him and said, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak to thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So Zacharias became speechless. And it took a while for him to come out of his temple when his service was done, because the next guy was waiting to go in, and the people were concerned what might have happened to him. But he came out and he couldn't speak, and they thought maybe he saw a vision in there. And so anyway, he and his wife went back to their home, and it took him a while to get back there because he couldn't talk, and they were elderly. And so it says in verse 23 in Luke 1, "And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months." So on about June 24th, 5 B.C., is when this would have happened. The conception of John was in around June 24th, 5 B.C. So 9 months later, that would have been his birth at March 25th, 4 B.C. So now we're going to take a sidestep and talk about Mary and the conception of Jesus. And that's in verses 26:56. So it says, "In the sixth month, an angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth." So 6 months from Elizabeth's conception, we have Mary with Gabriel in Nazareth. She was a virgin, and you can read here that she was highly favored, and she was to have a child, and she conceived Jesus on December 5 B.C. And so Mary conceived Jesus on December 25th, 5 B.C., which we call the begetting. And that's what we're going to celebrate here next Sunday. And in John 1:14, John gives us one verse about the birth of Christ. In a way, he says, "And the Word became flesh." And in Luke 2, verses 1 through 39, we have the birth, circumcision, and presentation of Jesus. So in verse 2:1 in Luke, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus to all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria." Well, historically, we know that's true, and that happened in the year 4 B.C. And these were to happen about every 14 years. And this would have been done before winter, because Caesar was no dummy. Augustus figured, well, for people to get home and be taxed and be counted, it had to be before winter set in. And also going on in that time was the Feast of Tabernacles, the 15th of Tishri. That was September 29th. So in the fall of that year, we have a Jewish feast going on. It lasted 7 days, and then on the eighth day, it was another Sabbath for that feast and a day of solemn assembly. And that would have been on October 6th. So we're pinning down some dates here that might be important. And the shepherds abiding in the fields, well, that would not have done in December. That would have had to been before October, because they would bring the sheep in from the fields in October for the winter. And they actually returned to their fields after Christ was born. So it had to be before October. By the way, this is the third time I've given this lesson in a couple of days. I gave it Sunday at the Bible, just gave it at Pickle's Bible study about an hour ago. So I hope my voice holds up here. So when we take December 25th as the day of conception of Jesus, then you go 280 days is the perfect gestation period for a human being. We'll give you December 25th plus 280 days of September 29th, 4 B.C. Now, Peter Redmond told me Sunday, he said, well, I counted up those days, and it's actually 279 days. So he'd done some research and found out, well, actually, they went back, and that was a leap year. So leap years had been configured back before that time. So actually it turned out to be 280 days because it was a leap year. Interesting. So Jesus was born on September 29th, 4 BC. And you all know this. I'm just reviewing some of the facts here that we have to go by. And so in 4 BC, that September 29th was the 15th day of Tishri, which was the first day of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And the 15th of Tishri was the first Sabbath of the Feast of Tabernacles. And as John said also in John 1:14, that the Word became flesh and he tabernacled among us, or he dwelt among us, I think is what the King James says, but that would be translated tabernacled among us. Now this feast day is laid out in Leviticus 23:33-36. If you want the background on that, Leviticus 23:33-36. And the Lord spake unto Moses saying, speak unto the children of Israel saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day, which was Jesus' birth, shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. So that was a Sabbath day. And 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And on the eighth day was another Sabbath day when Jesus was circumcised. Shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. So this feast day, interestingly, coordinates with the dates of Jesus' birth and the fact that John says he tabernacled among us. And so we can show that Jesus was likely born on September 29th, 4 BC. And then he was circumcised on the eighth day, which would have been October 6th. So then there was 41 days, and we're going to read about that in verse 21 in Luke chapter 2. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. And for a sacrifice according to that which is the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. So, for a male, the days of purification were 40. For a female, there were 80. Big difference. 40 days after his birth would have been November 8th, Jesus was presented to the Lord in Jerusalem. So it's interesting, we have the Lord being presented to the Lord in Jerusalem. And it says, and you get down to Luke 2:39, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, into their own city, Nazareth. So you get the picture here that Jesus was born in Bethlehem on the Feast of Tabernacles, circumcised the eighth day, and then 41 days, November 8th, they went to Jerusalem for this presentation to the Lord, and then they went home to Nazareth. Now, what I've included in here is Appendix 179. It's a good source, 179 in the Companion Bible. Good source of information on this. You can read all about Bullinger's notes on this. But he shows the Anno Mundi dating was about 4,000 that year when Christ was born. According to our calendar, it actually turns out to be 4 B.C. because over on the right-hand side, this Dionysius Exiguus, when he converted the calendar from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, apparently he thought the 32 AD, the what was Augustus's year, 32nd year, was actually the beginning of the calendar. Well, that turned out to be 4 years off. So Jesus was actually, somebody asked me today, well, what does B.C. mean? I said, it means before Christ. Well, how can he be born 4 years before Christ? Well, that's because of the calendar mix-up. So it says on there that our Lord's birth was 15th of Tishri, 29th September, 4 B.C. And another interesting note, he says that Herod deceased. Herod died at the end of January 3 B.C. So that would have put Herod's death 4 months after the birth of Christ. Now, everything I'm going to say is going to be based on that fact. If that's not true, then what I'm going to say doesn't hold water. But I'm going to trust that Bullinger did his research on that and did it correctly. So, in the Christian world, some changes had to be made to fit the December 25th birth date for the Lord. The angel announcing the birth to the shepherds was Michael. How do we know that? Well, it's very likely, it doesn't say in the scripture, but Michael, since he announced the second coming of the Lord, would be the one who would announce the first coming of the Lord. And September 29th was known as the Festival of Michael and All Angels in the early centuries. Well, I think we should realize that Christmas existed long before the birth of Jesus Christ. The 25th of December was a celebration day at the end of the year many reasons, but there were already parties, there were already drunken orgies, there were already gift givings, people giving gifts to each other, there was already lighted trees and candles and all the things that we associate with Christmas. It was already there, hundreds of years before Christ was even born. It was also the birthday of Egyptian gods like Horus or Osiris and many, many before that. All the way back to Babel, I'm sure. And March 25th, which was the birthday of John, was changed by the Catholic Church to the Feast of the Annunciation. So that was the day they say that Gabriel appeared to Mary and announced her conception of Jesus. Okay, so let's take a look at where the birth of Jesus took place. I think we pretty well debunked the typical manger scene that we've all had in our houses probably at one time or another. We still have one in a box up in the attic, I'm sure. But we had this manger scene where you have a, looks like a barn stall with a feeder with hay in it, and there's cattle and sheep and donkeys and all sorts of animals there. We had the shepherds and the angels and the wise men and the camels and they just threw it all in there and called that the nativity scene. Well, I think we believe that Christ was not born in that kind of a manger. In Genesis 35:21, it says that Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Edar. The Tower of Edar was at the edge of the city of Bethlehem. And in Micah 4, it says, "And you, O Tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come, even the first dominion." So this Tower of the flock was also called the Tower of Edar. And then the stronghold of the daughter of Zion would have been Bethlehem. And I included a picture of the Migdal Edar, the Tower of the Flock. It looks like a cylindrical shaped thing, a little bit of a cone, but it's probably, I don't know, 50, 60 feet tall. pretty good sized structure. Looks pretty good for 2,000 years old. I hope I look that good when I'm 2,000 years old. But it's got some windows at the top where you can see where the shepherds looked out over the flocks and protect them. In the base of that tower, there was a birthing stall where they would bring in the paschal lambs, the lamb for the Passover meals and the sacrifices that had to be perfect. So they would wrap them in swaddling and protect them from injuries. And that birthing stall was ceremonial cleanse probably daily, or if not that often, every couple days. This was the place where Christ was born in the same manger, the manger that the shepherds would know about was the birthing manger for the sacrificial lambs, the Tower of Idar, the Tower of the Flock. And then I've included in here a map just showing for perspective. You have Bethlehem about 4 or 5 miles south of Jerusalem, but Nazareth is in Galilee, which is about 90 miles north of Jerusalem. So when Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem, they had to travel about 90 miles, which would take them about a week to get there. And they wouldn't have done it in the wintertime. They would have done it maybe in the fall of that year. But you keep those in mind for some future things here. So you could take right between Luke 2:39 and 2:40, you could insert Matthew chapter 2. this is where the story of the wise men comes in, Matthew chapter 2. Now, it's interesting that Matthew talks a little bit about the birth of Jesus, just a few verses. And Mark and John don't have really anything to say about the birth of the Lord. We have Luke, who gives us great details about the birth of the Lord, which is great. But Luke doesn't say anything about the wise men, and neither do Mark or John. It's only the book of Matthew where these wise men are mentioned. And I'm sure there's somebody knows why. I'm sure it had to do with the kingdom and the king and so forth. But that's just interesting about the wise men. And there's no exact time connection given in the scriptures between the arrival of the wise men and the birth of Jesus. But I do believe there's a window there. If you have the birth of Jesus and the death of Herod 4 months later, there's a window there the wise men had to show up. And I guess I'll leave it at that. So your imagination can do some things here. You can be creative. So who were these wise men? Well, the Hebrew word for that is 7448, Rab Mag, R-A-B-Mag. And that means the chief Magian. Well, who's a Magian? Well, the Magians were from Persia. They were Persian people. Now, that R-A-E on that word is a sign of a title. It's a chief or a prince or some sign of a title. It's not king or lord, but it has something to do with the position of that person, their title, their rank. The only other time, well, the Greek word is 3097 magos, M-A-G-O-S. Magian means magian. And other people might use the term magician or sorcerer or wise men. The only other place that word is used is Acts chapter 13, where it talks about a guy named Bar-Jesus who was a sorcerer. And his name was Elimaeus, means sorcerer. So that's the only other place it's used in the New Testament. But I think it's interesting that these wise men not only knew about the prophets of the birth of this king of Israel, but they also brought prophetic gifts with them. So maybe they were prophets of some kind. Those. It doesn't say they were Gentiles. It doesn't say how many they were. It doesn't say they were kings. So we have to take that into consideration. Now, what about the star that they were following? The star. Let me get back to Matthew here. Matthew chapter 2. Let's just take a look at this. Verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. From the east to Jerusalem. So what direction were they traveling? Traveling west, right? Verse 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? That's the first question in the New Testament, by the way. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Well, Bollinger has a note about that. He says, actually, that should be translated that we being in the east have seen his star. We being in the east have seen his star. The star couldn't have been in the east because they were traveling west. Does that make sense? I mean, I used to be an engineer, but sometimes I don't know everything. Was the star of Bethlehem, as it's called, ever over Bethlehem? We'll see. We'll take a look at that. What was this star? Well, maybe it was just an angelic host. How long was it there? Maybe 2 years could have come to play there somewhere. The 2 years. And who saw the star? Well, the only people saw the star in the scriptures were the wise men. It doesn't say anybody else ever saw the star. So it was the purpose of that was to guide the wise men. So when Herod, the king, had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet. And I'm in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judea, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule thy people Israel. When Herod had, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. So, here's a possible scenario. You think about this timeline, but who was in Jerusalem 41 days after the child was born? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were in Jerusalem presenting this child to the Lord. It is possible that the wise men were talking to Herod at this time when they were inquiring where is this child? Jesus could have been right under their nose. He could have been within a few blocks of Herod when they were discussing this. It's a possibility. I'm just saying. It's also a possibility that when Jesus and Mary and Joseph left Jerusalem to head to Nazareth after his presentation, as it says in Luke 2:39, the wise men were sent to Bethlehem by Herod. They could have crossed paths right there in Jerusalem. Could have been. And I have a picture in here of three guys on camels going through Jerusalem. Look like the three wise men. Nobody said there was camels involved, by the way, but nobody said there was three. We don't know how many there were, but anyway, this picture just shows what Jesus and Mary and Joseph could have saw. They could have walked right by these three guys on camels and said, hey, that's pretty cool. You don't see that every day in Jerusalem. And I suppose they could have said, hey, get out your camera and your phone and take a picture of these guys. We'll show it to the folks at home. Just saying, they could have physically crossed paths with the wise men in Jerusalem. So, Matthew 2:9. So when the wise men had departed, when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. And it wasn't in the east, it was in the west. But it went before them until it came to stood over where the young child was. Who was the young child? The young child was in Nazareth, not in Bethlehem. So the wise men were being sent to Bethlehem by Herod. They weren't following the star to Bethlehem. They went there because Herod sent them there. But what made them so glad when they saw the star was over Nazareth. So they were on the wrong track. They had to turn around and go back to Nazareth because that's where the star was. That's why they were exceedingly glad when they saw the star. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. That's because they were looking for the child in Bethlehem, and the star was over Nazareth. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young. They come into the house, not the manger, not the stall, the barn in Bethlehem. They come into the house and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. This word child is paideion. It means infant, not a newborn. It means an infant. And they fell down and worshipped him, and they had opened their treasures and they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So here they are in Nazareth. And Jesus would have been between 2 to 3 months old. And this would have been sometime November, December, which I think is the time we're in now, December. And actually the Magi could have presented their gifts on or around December 25th. If you want to stretch it, you could say, yeah, they gave the gifts on December 25th, so we can give gifts on December 25th. Okay. So this is a possible time frame. Of course, Herod died late in January, 4 months after the child was born, so this would fit that timeline. But let's talk about the gifts. These gifts were prophetic, and the gold represents royalty. It's a symbol of his earthly kingship. Solomon's temple, inside, everything was covered with a paper-thin layer of gold everywhere. Royalty, gold, kingship. Frankincense was a symbol of godliness. Frankincense is what they mixed it with fine white flour and oil, and they would put this on the meat offerings when they burnt these offerings, so the smoke went up to God, and it was a pleasing fragrance to God. It's a frankincense. When I was in the Catholic Church, they had this thing called a censer, or they put, it was a gold thing, not very big. It was on a chain, and they would pull up off up the chain, and they would put grains of this incense on a hot burning coal inside that little container, like a charcoal. And they would smoke like crazy. And they would go around, and they would wave this over everything. And it was like the presence of the Lord. It was supposed to mean godliness, the presence of God there. It was a holy thing. And the myrrh is what they use in the burial. When Jesus was buried, they brought 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe. 100 pounds. So these three gifts, the gold, symbol of kingship, frankincense, symbol of godliness, the myrrh was a symbol of his death on the cross. They were prophetic. How do these kings know that? That's my question. They were also worth a lot of money. I mean, the Lord had a way of providing for this faithful little family for the rest of their life. This was a lot of money. Worth a lot of money. Now, back on the arrival of the wise men, the Roman Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, the Lutherans, and all these people, they have a feast called the Epiphany, the Epiphania, the Epiphany. 12 days after the Christ was born, the Magi showed up at the manger in Bethlehem on January 6th, and this is when Christ was manifested to the Gentiles. Well, it doesn't say these wise men were Gentiles or kings, whatever. It's also called the Theophany or the Three Kings Day. Now, the Orthodox Church, they celebrate Christ's birth on January 7th for whatever reason, and 12 days later, they have the Theophany, the visit of the wise men, where the manifestation of God to man occurred. So this is where we get the 12 days of Christmas, of course. Not based on any facts, but that's what we get. So we have this scenario where after the Magi, and I'll read this, Matthew 2:12. Thank you, Chip. You're doing a good job keeping up. Matthew 2:12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not go to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, said, rise and take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, departed into Egypt, and stayed there till the death of Herod. Excuse me, I tore my page here. When Herod, when he saw that he was mocked, the wise men, and he was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently acquired of the wise men. Remember that. According to the time which he had diligently acquired of the wise men. So, the wise men depart Nazareth and go east, away from Herod. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, they go to Egypt, which I'm sure that was quite a trek. And Herod's all upset in Jerusalem, so he puts out this decree to kill all the children 2 years and under. Tradition has it that this happened at Bethlehem. The wise men were at Bethlehem. They gave them their gifts at Bethlehem at the manger, and then they had to leave and go back to the east. And Mary, Jesus, and Joseph had to leave and go to Egypt. Well, Jesus would have been just barely circumcised, and they never even went to present him to the Lord yet. And these are pretty tender moments. You know, Mary's just had a child, and she's in her days of purification. Why in the world would they have to flee to Egypt a few days after the baby's born? So that doesn't make sense at all. So that's what tradition teaches. So now we look at, I read 15 and 16. And so I think back in Matthew 2:7, when Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now, if you look at the companion Bible notes on Matthew 2:1, down at the bottom, it says the adoration of the Magi must have taken place at Nazareth, for the Lord was presented in the temple 41 days after his birth, and thence returned to Nazareth. There in the house, not in a stable in Bethlehem, they found the Lord. They did not return to Jerusalem from Nazareth, but being well on their way home, easily escaped from Herod, and Herod, having inquired accurately as to the time, fixed on 2 years, which would have thus made about the age have been the age of the Lord. So Bullinger is saying here that the Lord was 2 years old when the Magi left and departed. Well, in Appendix 179, he says that Herod died 4 months after Christ was born. So that doesn't fit, in my opinion. And in verse 216, there's a note on the 2 years. It was now nearly 2 years since the birth of Bethlehem. Herod had inquired very diligent, accurately about the star. So I don't see how that fits. In my opinion, Herod was told by the Magi that they had been traveling, following the star for about 2 years. That is why he ordered all male infants 2 years and younger to be killed. Jesus would not have been 2 years old when the Magi came if Herod died 4 months after Jesus' birth. It's estimated that about 14,000 baby boys were slaughtered at this time. About 14,000. Unbelievable. So, important fact is that King Herod the Great, if he died in late January 3 BC, 4 months after Jesus was born, there's no way that that child could be 2 years old when they showed up at the house. Shortly after Herod gave his decree of the slaughter of children, he became violently ill and died. The Magi would have already been to Nazareth and had not returned to Herod. So we're about to finish up here. In Matthew 2:19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside to the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So Archelaus would have been equivalent to, say, Hunter Biden. Just think if Hunter Biden stepped in the shoes of his father in that office in Washington. This Archelaus reigned 4 BC to 10 AD, about 14 years, and nobody liked him. He was a bad dude. And Joseph knew that. He knew this guy was a bad dude. So they returned to Nazareth and didn't go to Jerusalem. So the story of the wise men was, they were the first to acknowledge the prophetic king of the Lord. They were the first to acknowledge and worship the Savior. And they exposed the neglected of the Judeans. Gifts they brought were prophetic. about Jesus' life and his purpose. And the gifts provided many years of support for a faithful family. I had to think about this a minute. You mean they took that gold and frankincense and myrrh and they packed it up on their donkey and went to Egypt with it and came back with it? And I mean, that was very valuable stuff. That was, I suppose in our days, worth hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. Interesting thoughts, anyway. So, we have a timeline where we have the conception of John, 24th of June, 5 BC. The conception of Jesus, 25th of December, 5 BC. The birth of John the Baptist, March 25th, 4 BC. 6 months later, the birth of Jesus, 29th of September, 4 BC. And the wise men, if these facts and dates are true, would have arrived between November and December at the house of Jesus in Nazareth. So that's why I say that we are in the days of the wise men. So hopefully this study will make us all a little wiser about the events around the birth of Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson today. Be with all the people in our group, the body of Christ. We pray that you meet all their needs and protect them, keep them safe, keep them nourished. And we are waiting and looking for not your second coming. We're looking for your appearing. And hopefully soon, that we may be with you forever at the right hand of the Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.